Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Seminarians, a dialogue with students from the Pontifical College Josephinum, produced by AM 820 to encourage and inspire vocations to the religious life. And now, The Seminarians.
Welcome to The Seminarians Show. I'm PJ Brandymarty from the Diocese of Columbus. Joining me are Alfonso Gomez and Britt Taylor from the Diocese of Charlotte. Welcome, brothers.
Hey, Peach.
Hey, PJ.
How you doing?
Doing well, JP.
No, that's not funny.
Well, you got that name assigned to you today in class.
Oh, that's right. I did get that name assigned to me in class.
It just came back to me.
Yeah. Well, we're a little punch drunk.
We're still on Rome time.
We've just gotten back. This is our first day back in the studios. After getting back from our pilgrimage to Rome, our entire ordination class went on a pilgrimage to Rome. So I was thinking, I've been praying about what to talk about. And I, being so jet lagged, was like, okay, let's talk about pilgrimages.
Right. So we're going to talk about every meal we ate, what we had, and what was good, what we recommended, not.
When life gives you lemons, you make limeade.
You make limoncello.
Well, that's right.
But so we're going to talk about pilgrimages today, and what they are, why they're important, how to do one, etc. And spoiler alert, it's easier than you think. But before we go any further, we should start this, as we should start all things, with prayer. So, Alfonso. Oh, I'm sorry. Britt is opening us with prayer. My apologies. Britt, go ahead.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Dear Lord, we thank you for the many opportunities you give us to experience you within our own created world by journeying to the different shrines that remind us of your great benevolence in our creation. We ask that you continue to afford us these opportunities to visit you and ultimately grow closer to you in all that we do. As in all things, we ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Well, so as we were saying, we just got back from Rome at the Pontifical College Josephinum. We are very, very blessed with several generous benefactors who allow the third-year theologians, the men who are going to be ordained deacons in just a very short time, to go on a pilgrimage to Rome, and also go during that pilgrimage to Rome, take a side pilgrimage to Assisi, mm-hmm. and do our what's called the canonical retreat. Before you get ordained to any rank in the church, deacon, priest, or bishop, the church requires you to do a 5-day retreat. So we were blessed to be able to do our canonical retreat in Assisi. And it was just absolutely wonderful. It's completely awe-inspiring. Mm-hmm. So before we start talking about pilgrimages, I really just want to open the floor and just see, is there anything about our pilgrimage that really, really stood out and really moved your heart closer to our Lord or our Lady or to our future as servants of those who also serve God?
So just being able to see like the actual, we got to go down under the Vatican, right?
Yeah.
To do the Scavi tour, which takes you to these mausoleums of basically an ancient Roman graveyard. And at the end of that, we got to see, the encasing where the bones of St. Peter are kept. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was incredible because, I mean, here is the rock upon which the church is founded, you know, just a few feet away from where we were standing. And to be able to pray there was, you know, really quite remarkable. To see the chains of St. Paul was also pretty astounding. And then the staircase, the Scala Sancta that Christ ascended when he went to go encounter Pontius Pilate. And for us to be able to ascend those steps as well, the same steps that Christ ascended, was just really mm-hmm. quite remarkable. And then in the whole scheme of things, you know, because we were on, you know, we took this pilgrimage to kind of reflect on our discernment, in our yes to the Lord, to be able to prepare for ordination. I had this thought in my mind, just just thinking, when would I be able to do this? You know, when would I have been able, when would I have been given the opportunity to have this huge blessing to be able to visit Rome? It was my first time.
Mine as well.
Making a pilgrimage to Rome and to Assisi. And it, I really do think about, you know, how many things that we say no to. You know, we say no to a family, we say no to a wife, to children, to a stable home, to an income, and to a profession. But just thinking about these opportunities and the companions that we had on the trip just shows how much more we are given when we say yes to the Lord. And it just really, I think, enriched the, my whole pilgrimage to be able to recognize that at the beginning. But yeah, definitely the historical sites, and it just becomes everything, like the faith just becomes so real. It's very incarnational.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So I've actually had the opportunity when I was in college a couple times to go to Rome for different kind of service trips with different UN agencies and their policies and stuff. But this is my first time going to Rome purely from a church perspective. So I was definitely going on a more secular version where I was like, oh man, Rome. And it was just the typical, this is an awesome old city. Let's look at the Colosseum. Let's look at the Forum. All these great things that are just so historically awe-inspiring where, I mean, just thinking about what the Roman Empire was and how you really can't think of, when you think of ancient history, I mean, it's Greece and it's Rome. Those are what you think of.
Right.
But this time really going from the perspective of a of going for the church and seeing and really trying to make it a time of prayer was really probably the best part of this trip for me, where I was blessed that I've already seen most of these things. So when I was going to Santa Maria Maggiore, which I still think is probably my favorite church, given if you've listened to the show pretty frequently, you probably picked up on my Marian devotion.
Just a little.
Yeah, it was probably just a little. And so going and being really the first church dedicated to Our Lady.
Huge devotion to Our Lady Guadalupe. Britt is the expert on Our Lady Guadalupe at the Pontifical College.
We're just going to just, we'll go past that for now. But being there at Santa Maria Maggiore and not just looking at it from a tourist perspective, but really, right. Wow, this is such an instrumental part of our Catholic faith and Catholic identity. And being able to spend time in prayer and really reflect and just meditate on it.
No, yeah.
I think Alfonso just got a question that he's supposed to ask me.
I will plead the fifth.
And then, of course, going into Assisi as well. That was my first time in Assisi. And seeing the economy where you've got Rome, which is, I mean, it's just a mega city where it's huge, it's gigantic, it's, I mean, it's a large city. A lot of people live there.
It's necessarily dirty.
Yes, I would let the Italians say it's dirty. I didn't want to offend his people, but yes, it is a very dirty city. And then you go to Assisi, which is, I mean, it's just a Catholic city. It feels like it was just plucked out of time when Francis and Claire were there.
Right.
And it's still that way today.
It's remarkable.
Maybe a few more cars on the road, but I mean, it's very spiritual. You just can't help but feel peace and start to develop this devotion or even deepen a devotion to these two great saints that have been afforded to the church. And so being able to experience that and do our retreat there, we're getting ready to lay our lives down, and we have two very great witnesses to emulate and to model ourselves after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, this was also my first time. Unlike my brethren here, I am Italian by descent. In fact, my people come from the Roman area. So I am Central Italian by descent. My family is very intimately involved in Rome. I've always wanted to go, and I finally was able to go, and it was the most phenomenal experience I've ever had. It was just,
I think you were like a fish in water.
I was. It was in Rome. The nice thing was I wasn't the most Italian guy around, right, for like a 2 mile radius. Like, there were other emotionally unstable people.
To be honest,
get like super angry and then super happy. I think and I then super like.
Yeah,
super
Alfonso
sad,
had
like,
some highs and lows on that trip.
I understand you now better. It's like, oh, this makes sense.
you see, like the two guy. You see, like the guy walking across the street and the guy driving around, and they're both swearing at each other, and then they're done swearing at each other, and then they look and go, "Okay, Bajano."
Yeah,
they're like, "Okay, bye," and everything's great. Like, but no, it was just an amazing experience. the scale is just completely indescribable. To walk into St. Peter's and just see what that is. Right. And to walk on marble that has been, like, the marble I walked on existed in its place almost 200 years before America existed as a country. Mm-hmm. And it's just indescribable. And to look at that and to think that this was all built by people without machines, without computers, mm-hmm. with what we would see as very poor building materials, little to no cement, mostly iron. Like it's just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And it's still there.
Right.
So
I had a similar thought, because I had the grace to be able to ascend up to the altar to wash the Holy Father's hands during Mass. And I thought, wow, how many popes, how many great men have ascended these steps?
And now me.
But
Pope Alfonso the First coming in 30 years.
It is quite remarkable. Like, I remember when I walked into St. Peter's Square for the first time and just thinking, how many Annuncio Vobis have been announced here? You know, the great declaration, great announcements. When Holy Father passes away, that's where the announcement's made. It's just, you know, it gives you chills just to think about, like, all the history that happened in that location.
Indeed. You're listening to The Seminarian Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. You can hear this show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. I'm P.J. Brandy Marty from the Diocese of Columbus. Joining me are Alfonso Gomez and Britt Taylor from the Diocese of Charlotte. And we're talking about pilgrimages, and we're specifically sharing some thoughts about our recent pilgrimage to Rome. If I had just one more point before we get on to just general pilgrimages, I want to address Assisi, because from a secular perspective, you're looking at a city that exists almost entirely based on tourism. If you were to look at the economy of the city, the economy is almost entirely based around tourism. But you go there and there are no tourists. There are pilgrims. And there are no shops with trinkets. There are shops with religious goods. There are no flashy restaurants. There were restaurants there, but they're very, very calm. It's a very peaceful city. There was no hustle and bustle. There was just a lot of people living life. Living a very laid-back Italian life, which I greatly enjoyed.
Including climbing the hill.
I did not include climbing the hill. I am, for those of you who, again, I like the radio because you can't see me, I am what might be referred to as a husky gentleman. And that was a big hill. That was a big old hill that we had to climb up. There was a huskier gentleman on the trip 2 years ago who gave me all these lists of restaurants, and I was like, how in the heck did this guy get up that hill to visit all these restaurants? But then I add the restaurants.
Because he saw I had the prize.
Oh, well, that's exactly what I ate at the restaurant. I was like, okay, I fully understand now. So we're talking about pilgrimages, and I think a logical question would be, I think we hear the word all the time, but I think a good question is, what exactly is a pilgrimage? Right. So, like any good Catholic, I went to newadvent.com, and I typed in pilgrimage. And a pilgrimage is a journey made to some place with the purpose of venerating it, or in order to ask for the aid of God, or to discharge some religious obligation. So that's just a generic term. Mm-hmm. I think from a Catholic perspective, the first option, a journey for the purpose of venerating a place, is probably the most apt, and it's done not just out of an obligation that we have, and not just for our benefit, but it's done for the benefit of the entire body of Christ, mm-hmm. And offering that journey in order to come closer to Him and to offer everything that journey is for oneself and for the glory of God.
Right, and you know these churches are just stunning. I mean, the perfect word to describe them is magnificent. It means they are greatly made. Mm-hmm. And the idea of the pilgrimage is that you're journeying, almost like the journey through life, and that the at the end of their journey is the beautiful house of God. And that's really what our life is about. It's a life is a journey, and we're making our way to God's house, God's beautiful house, which is heaven.
And what PJ was talking about with just admiring the craftsmanship that went into specifically his example of St. Peter's, but I mean, all these churches, it really shows all this is done for the glory of God, mm-hmm. where you've got these magnificent places that I wouldn't even begin to know how to, I mean, other than maybe from my Lego experience, like, okay, I put this one here. I don't think St. Peter's is a giant Lego set by any stretch of the imagination.
Wouldn't it be cool if it was, though?
Yeah.
we'll just pause and think about that.
But so, and all these things are done where I remember, so in Barcelona, the Sagrada Familia, the giant church that's still being built, that's right. taken over a century to build, mm-hmm. When they were asking the lead sculptor, and it's like, well, why are you doing this? And you're not going to see it be finished in your time.
He converted, didn't he?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the one who took over after him converted.
Oh, okay.
But you're never going to see this complete in your lifetime. And he said, well, the person I'm making this for is outside of time, so it doesn't matter how long it takes. And he's talking about God. Right. And I mean, and that's ultimately what these are. It's great that we went over to Rome and saw these magnificent churches, mm-hmm. but a pilgrimage doesn't have to be going over to see St. Peter's Basilica. It very well is, but right. I mean, we're going to talk about here in a moment where you've got pilgrimages here within the span of AM 820, where you can go within and still listen to the wonderful voices of us three seminarians while you're on pilgrimage to different shrines.
Not necessarily saying you have to, but you know, you could.
Well, there is a penance aspect to pilgrimages, so that's why you listen to us.
It's spiritually beneficial if you do.
Asterisk.
But I think Brett, what you were saying just now, that you don't have to go to Rome to mm-hmm. To make a pilgrimage. You can. There are places close by. I think that's exactly what the Holy Father had in mind during the Year of Mercy, when he had the Holy Doors, and typically the Holy Doors would be the major basilicas, I believe, or
the cathedrals,
right. But then he said, no, every diocese will assign a Holy Door so that the faithful can make a pilgrimage and still receive the benefits from the indulgence of that year. And so mm-hmm. he was really emphasizing that idea that a pilgrimage can be done, you know, in the comfort of your diocese, basically.
Right.
No, absolutely. When we first started at the Josephinum, we would actually make a pilgrimage at the beginning of each semester up to the shrine of Our Lady of Consolation in Cary, Ohio, which mm-hmm. is a wonderful, wonderful shrine. What would you say, about an hour away from the Josephinum?
Well, my experience with everything in Columbus, it's either 20 minutes or 2 hours. So probably 2 hours.
Fair enough.
Actually, I think it is about that distance.
But it's a short. It's something that doesn't even take you a whole day.
No, I've been there on a weekend a Saturday. Yeah,
you can go up Saturday morning and you're back in time to see OSU kickoff.
Right, so. And it's pretty amazing at Our Lady of Consolation, because the lower level, the crypt church, I guess that's what you would call it. There's just all these different articles of people who have received, who have had their prayers answered. Like there's crutches and casts and all these different medical things that people don't need anymore because they've been healed. Mm-hmm. And they have them there in case. And so if you ever have any miraculous stories, you can go and leave your things there as a sign of thanksgiving for Our Lady's intercession.
Right.
My favorite place of pilgrimage, and I know that there are many people who are not fans of Pittsburgh.
So I know exactly where he's going with this.
No, absolutely, because I've taken Britt there.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
There is in Pittsburgh, which is about three hours away from downtown Columbus, there is a shrine called St. Anthony's Chapel, and it contains the largest collection of relics of saints anywhere in the entire world outside of Vatican City. And it's right here. It's 3 hours away. It's very close. It's just phenomenal. You walk in, and if you can imagine the saint, they're almost certainly on the wall. They have pieces of
the veil that Our Lady wore when Jesus was crucified. They have enough pieces of the true cross to probably rebuild the true cross. The altar has a piece of wood from the table the Last Supper was celebrated on. There are the entire bodies of certain saints. And it's just, it's phenomenal to see this and to see real physical history and to see this direct connection to these real people, people just like us who maybe sacrificed everything, but maybe led a relatively ordinary life, but a life of heroic virtue. And were thus proclaimed saints. And it's so humbling to go there and see it. And it's just truly awe-inspiring. And to have that within a Saturday drive. Guys from the Josephinum are going to be going here in a couple weeks. We're just going to drive up Saturday morning, drive back Saturday night. And it's a nice day trip. But, man, is it... It takes your breath away when you walk into this little chapel on this little hill in Pittsburgh, of all places.
And there's even one that's even closer that our producer is saying, Maria Stein, which we were asking where it is. It's apparently the town is called Maria Stein. And there, it's got just as many, not just as many, but it's got quite a large number of relics as well. So, I mean, think about, you don't have to be on an 8 or 10 hour plane ride to Italy or to Fatima or to Lourdes or to Mexico City to get all these different pilgrimages. I mean, it's right around the corner where if you're looking for a great opportunity to really be with your family, and of course not have to go to Pittsburgh. I mean, you're right here and it's right in your own neighborhood.
But why wouldn't you want to go to Pittsburgh?
Because
the eternal holy city.
Look, we're from North Carolina. We don't have a dog in this fight, but
indeed.
Actually, one of my favorite...
I think I'm digging the hole with my future parishioners here, I'll be honest, but...
One of my favorite pilgrimages that we do at the Josephinum is the March for Life pilgrimage.
Right.
Especially the Vigil Mass for Life. I remember my first year as a seminarian, because all the seminarians are in procession for that Mass, and it's just seminarian after seminarian. There's so many seminarians at that Vigil Mass, and then when you turn the corner and then see... Christ, you know, the big...
angry Jesus.
Yeah, you see that. And with all the people there, it's just really quite amazing. And you really... I remember leaving the Basilica just so full of excitement. And it's really a celebration of life. And so it's just this huge participation of the church in America. And it's really cool, I think, to be together as pilgrims, to go to one common place and then go out. It's just...
No, absolutely. I wanted to address real quick, the pilgrimage isn't necessarily something that's penitential, but there's... It's also not necessarily a vacation. But it's also not necessarily not a vacation, and it's also not necessarily not penitential. There's going to be... With many pilgrimages, there's going to be aspects of a vacation, getting away from life, spending time with friends and family, going to this place that you may have a strong desire to go to and relax for a little bit, but relaxing in prayer. And on the same token, there's going to be aspects that are penitential, but it doesn't have to be an experience where you're driving through snow while you're whipping yourself in the back going, woe is me.
Well, it's a lot like life where, and so the pilgrimage, ultimately where PJ's getting these two things kind of coincide and really interweave with one another is because of what your end goal is. The end goal of a pilgrimage is to grow closer to God and to Jesus and the Trinity. And that's where it's happening, where our life, when you're trying to grow closer, I mean, you're going to have times where you're relaxing with the Lord, where, I mean, I've had holy hours where I'm sitting there and the time flies by because you're just in ecstasy because you're enjoying your time, and others where it feels like it's taken 27 hours just to get through 15 minutes. And going back to our Rome pilgrimage, where there's times where we're eating phenomenal meals, and there's also times where I'm climbing the stairs that Jesus climbed, only I'm doing it on my knees and it's taking 20 minutes and it's not the most comfortable experience in the world, but pilgrimage really encapsulates all that is in life, where you've got the two ends of the spectrum, and it's that happy medium. Much of Catholic life is in that happy medium, where you're balancing the two, the penance aspect as well as the vacation. Vacation is kind of, you hear the connotation from the secular world where it's, I'm going to go scuba dive with, or snorkel with the dolphins and whatever that is. That's where you get the vacation aspect. But I mean, the pilgrimage, if you're focusing it on God, that's where they're going to necessarily coincide with one another.
We walked around with a bunch of penguins.
We did?
Yeah, a little nun joke. Get it?
Oh.
Ba-dum-bum.
Right, yes. Yes.
So on that failed joke note, my aunt's a sister. I'm allowed to make that joke. On that failed joke note, I would like to invite everybody who's able to listen to this to take a pilgrimage. And take, if you have never been to the Cathedral of St. Joseph in downtown Columbus, consider this year making a pilgrimage to the Mother Church of the Diocese of Columbus or the Mother Church of your diocese. If you're in one of the other dioceses around, or perhaps the Church of St. Patrick downtown Columbus, which is also very beautiful. But make it a point to get there and make it a point to make it a time of prayer and peace. So, with that, I would like to close the show, and I'd like to ask Alfonso, my brother in Christ, to offer this beautiful closing prayer that I know he's prepared for us.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you humbled yourself, became man, and dwelt among us. You sanctified the land you walked on. Guide our feet on this pilgrimage here on earth, that we may walk with you continually so that we may attain our true reward, which is the house of God. All eternity. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for the Seminarian Show. You can hear this show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. Thank you very much. May God bless you.
The Seminarians is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of the Seminarians and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Veni Sancti.